What's up, fam? Welcome back to the Boy That's Good podcast. Happy Wednesday, everybody. Y'all, we got a good one for you today. I sound like Steve Harvey right now, but we do, y'all. This guy is not a stranger to anyone. We have Chris Tomlin on the podcast. He has a new album out called Always. It is incredible. I've been listening to it every day. It is so good. And this guy, let me just preface this, because he's not going to say all this, so I'm going to say it. Listen to some of these facts. It's estimated that 20 to 30 million people across the world sing one of Chris's songs every week in church services in nearly every single language. Y'all, like, what? That is insane. Time Magazine actually called Chris the most often sung artist in the world, as his music has inspired and uplifted an entire generation of believers. He has scored 17 number one singles on the radio, plays 29 top 10 hits, more than from any other Christian artist, which is so crazy, sold more than 9 million albums with 5.6 billion career global streams, earned a Grammy, 3 Billboard Music Awards, 27 Dove Awards, and Chris is the first Christian artist to reach the billion streams threshold on Pandora, and that was presented with their Billionaire Award. Like, what in the world? This is so cool, and I'm just so honored to have him on the podcast today, because this is a guy who has written songs that have literally soared across the world, but they're all about lifting up the name of Jesus. If you've heard Good, Good Father, How Great Is Our God, Our God, Amazing Grace, My Chains Are Gone, Thank You, Lord, featuring Thomas Rhett, that's the guy you're listening to, Chris Tomlin. I'm just grateful for his impact that he's had in the world and thankful that he's on the Well Let's Go podcast. Okay, Chris, I'm so excited to have you on this podcast. Honestly, I was just saying this before you got on, but I have been listening to Holy Forever from your new album every single day. Like, no joke, it's the first song that I listen to in the morning. And what's so funny is I had this playlist I made whenever I was pregnant with Honey. And I don't really add to that because I'm like, oh, that was just that sweet season. But that song, I was like, this is going in there because this song is so good. And I want it to be in that like zone of special songs for me that I just feel so close to God in. And so, man, God's already using this album so much. It's just awesome.
Well, this is more confirmation about that song, Sadie, because, you know, I was thinking about this. This record that's out, my newest record. This is my 17th album to make.
Wow.
I was a part of 14 albums with Passion. So that's 31.
Wow.
31 records. I'm like, oh my gosh, I can't believe that much music. And
whoa.
So when you're writing songs, and so, you know, you just never know. I never have known that this is going to be the song that really connects. You know, I've never really had that sense. You write a song, you feel something about it, you're like, wow. And this one has been the song since we released it that I have had more text about.
Wow.
Maybe since Good Good Father, it's been that many texts of friends going, wow, what is this? And just all from all different spectrum of the years of friendships over my life, people have been texting me and like, this one is special. And I've released several songs on this record. Not to say they're not as, what about them? But no one's texting me about that. There's something special about it. And what I think it is, maybe, is one, I mean, the guys I wrote this with, when I tell you their names, if you can't write a good song with these guys, you need to go sell houses or something. quit music. Which is, I wrote this with Brian and Jen Johnson and Phil Wickham and Jason Ingram. And we were together with Jason and Brian, and they brought this idea that Phil had had. And I love it because all of these people part of this song have this real heart of, there's this real genuine, pure heart of worship, and to capture that song of worship, that sound of worship, and what it is about this song, I feel like, is what I'm seeing right now, especially, or maybe what's always been, but it's become more clear to me when it comes to worship. I feel like there's really two lanes, and it's there's songs of deliverance, and there's songs of transcendence, and I've written both. And when you think about the songs that we sing today, worship songs that we sing today, there's going to be one of two things. Songs of deliverance or songs of rescue. Songs of, I need you, God. Lord, help me. Lord, Amazing Grace is a song of deliverance, right? It's amazing. Those are amazing songs, and we need those songs. The Psalms are full of those songs. But there's also those songs where you tap in every once in a while that are kind of these songs of transcendence that
wow.
are really nothing about us in the deal. It's just about the glory of God
yeah.
and just the magnet and how worthy God is. And it puts you in a place. It takes you to this transcendent place that's kind of beyond
yeah.
what you're seeing now. Beyond, it takes you to this realm. And there is an everlasting song
wow.
that is sung. And that is Holy is the Lord. Holy, it says they never stop saying, Holy, holy, mm-hmm. holy is the Lord God Almighty. And when you tap into that song, I remember when I wrote How Great is Our God, I thought it was a simple song. I never thought it would be sung like it is. But mm-hmm. it was a song that I really intentionally tried to, like, I just want to put every bit of focus I can on the Lord, as far as, like, not about what I need or about what
yep.
he's done for me, but just about how great he is.
Yep.
And I think the song Holy Forever touches that as well. It's just about the song of heaven, the everlasting song that, and is a song that hopefully reminds us that our faith is not 30 minutes old, right?
Yeah.
It is, it's generation after generation, it's thousands of generations before us and,
yeah.
and those who come after us, that says, if the scripture is true, and I believe it's true, and I know you believe it's true, that there is a song of heaven that we will all join in, that those who've gone before us are already in, and that is holy, holy, holy. And
wow.
That's what I try to tap into in this song, you know, and
so
I feel
cool.
like in a way it has done that.
Yes, that is so cool. And actually, I saw this song for the first time on Jen's story, Jen Johnson, and it was the story that she posted of whenever Benny just passed away and Bill was worshiping to this song. And I think that's what's really cool is because when I saw it, I was like, oh, I want to go listen to that. Because when people go through such a raw experience, like losing a loved one, like what they're listening to and what makes them feel close to God is obviously very powerful and very intimate with God. And there was something about that video with Bill just worshiping. Like, it was like he was like in heaven in that moment, like with them. And so I was like, oh, I gotta go listen to a song. And I was like, wow, this is so powerful. So I've been listening to it every day, and it does. It takes you to this realm of heaven. It's like, oh man, like I'm right there with the angels singing the song of heaven. It's so good. And just as you're talking, it's so crazy. I always, you know, show up in this chair to do a podcast interview, and I'm so excited for everybody to listen to it. But I keep showing up in this chair lately, and I'm like, man, this is so crazy. I needed to hear these things because this is just crazy. But for the past 4+ years, I've been like kind of writing songs and wanting to start a worship band. And so finally, over the past 4 years, got the right people around me, and the right people were literally family members, close family friends. We started writing songs together. And so we are actually, literally today, our first EP comes out. And it's like, which is crazy, like 4 years in the making, tonight at 11, yes, at 11 p.m., our first EP comes out. And I didn't even like think about, I'm stepping into this day that's been in the works for a long, 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 long time, years. And I get to talk to you, who has like been a part of 30+ albums. I'm like, God, you're crazy. This is so cool. And you're talking about how to write this kind of song, how to write that kind of song. And I'm like, this is so helpful. Like, yes, yes. So, man, God is good. I was also thinking way back to whenever I was little and I took my first voice lesson ever, and it was How Great is Our God, and I was totally botching it. I mean, my voice was nothing, but I just remember being like 10 years old with the voice coach, like making sure my mouth was open wide enough, singing How Great is Our God.
Oh
so,
my gosh, that is amazing.
Back. Well, okay, so let's think back for you, throwback for you. When did you start writing songs? Has this always been a part of your life? When was it that God just kind of showed you that you have this gift?
I love telling this story. Thanks for asking this question, because this is, you're going to think I'm making this up. This is not, this is the truth. I was in high school, and I got invited to play at this. I was just playing in my small church. I grew up in a little small town in Texas, East Texas. And it was a little small church, and I got some youth pastor found out I played music and could sing. And so he said, would you play this youth conference, this youth week, this youth conference? That's a big, it wasn't that. It's like this, it was like this youth week down at our church. And they were having this thing in the summer. It's like, yes, I'll do it. And I only knew three songs. And I really, and I only played at my own church. And so, you know, this, if you only play at your own church, you don't know if you're any good because no one's going to tell you the truth at your own church. And so
right.
I was like I knew three songs. And I was like, yeah, I'm going to do this. And I get a call from this about a month before the event happens. And it's this deep voice on the phone. It's like, his name is James. It's like, hi, my name is James. And I was like, hey, James, how you doing? He said, hey, man, I'm calling you because I'm speaking at this youth week and I've never heard of you. And I want to know if we're going to be doing this for a week. I want to kind of know what kind of music who you are. And I was like, well, James, the reason you never heard of me is I've never done this before. And you're calling me at my parents' house. I live with my parents. I'm in high school. And he's, I mean, you can feel the pause on the phone. It's like, oh my gosh. And he's like, oh, well, what kind of songs do you play? And I was like, well, I know three songs, James. And he's like, three songs? And I was like, yep. And he said, can I send you some music? It's like, yeah, he's like, yeah, send me some music. And he sends me these tapes. And this is crazy. He sends me these tapes, and it's like these worship tapes. A couple of them were from Choice, the thing called Choice. It's produced by Louis Giglio. And I was like, and I remember I'm in high school. I don't know who that is.
No way.
I was just like, well, what is this? And it was like these Bible study things. And I started learning these songs, and I would write them on note cards, and I would write the words down. And I came to this youth week with this stack of note cards and of the songs, of these choruses. It was simple choruses like, Lord, you're more precious than silver. I love you. All these early choruses. And I was like, this is what I'm going to play. So I came with these note cards. I did of full of songs. And there's 500 kids at this youth week. I knew nothing. I didn't know what I was doing. Sadie, I literally walked on stage. I was scared to death. I didn't ever look at anybody. I never acknowledged anybody. I never said hello to the crowd. I just looked at my microphone. I put my note cards down on the stage, looked at my note cards, and played the songs for 5 nights. I just played these songs, kind of whatever was on the note card.
Wow.
Kind of sang the song, looked scared to death. And this is what happened. And the reason I tell the story is the end of the week, James said, he came to me and said, hey, man, I've been praying for you this week. And I'm like, I'm sure. he said, I want to tell you two things. One is, you have no idea what you're doing. I was like, wow, okay, God bless you. That is very straightforward, very direct. He goes, secondly, you have no idea how God's going to use your songs in the world.
Wow.
And I was like, what? I don't have any songs, right? Because I'm just looking at note cards and playing other people's songs. And he said, no, I've been praying for you this week, I just sense an impression that you're going to write songs and the world's going to sing those songs. And I remember he just put his hand on my head. There was no head bowed, eyes closed. He just put his hand on my head, staring at me. And he said, God, would you make Chris a psalm writer for his generation?
Wow.
And it was like lightning went through me. And it was a marking moment on my life. And it started this trajectory of, what is this? And writing these songs and trying to, I always had this, even growing up, I would tell my mom, I'd play at church and I would be like, I just like it when people sing with me. I don't really like it. I don't like performing, whatever that is. I like when people just sing. I didn't know what a worship leader was, didn't know what the term was, didn't know what worship music was. I didn't grow up in that kind of church. Mm-hmm. I was just like simple. So I just started trying to write songs like that were real simple that people could sing. And just a couple of years after that, I'm rolling to this youth camp and a guy named Louis Giglio is speaking, and it's like, hey man, you're the guy on the tapes that this guy sent me. And
wow.
I learned all these songs, and I remember Louis saying, what are these songs that you're singing at this camp? I was like, oh, I've just been writing them. He's like, I've never, he goes, I travel and speak everywhere and I've never heard songs like this. And
wow.
What is this? And I was like, I'm just writing these songs. And then God connected us and put us together and all the things that happened out of that. And
wow.
It's just been this thing of like, I look back and go, I could have never written this story, but I never dreamed it. Would have never thought it. It wasn't something I was looking to do. It was just people believed in me.
Wow.
And there was people that came along that God used to say, you've got a gift. I didn't see it myself. I didn't know it myself. But you have a gift to do this. And I'm so grateful for those people on my journey. And, you know, everybody, and I'm sure you have those people and people listening have those people who are like, man, that believe in you. Or maybe you can be one of those people that believe in somebody that says, hey, you see something in somebody that maybe they can't even see. So I never dreamed never dreamed it'd be where this is, but it was that moment of, I haven't even written a song. A guy tells me, you're going to write songs and the world's going to sing them. And wow. I was just like, what? And so that's how it started.
Y'all know I love a good story. I love hearing about a story, listening to a story, and there are so many unforgettable stories and characters out there, and Audible is here to help you discover all of them. Audible is the home of storytelling and lets you enjoy all of your audio entertainment in one simple, convenient app. They offer an amazing selection of audiobooks from every genre, like bestsellers, new releases, memoirs, mysteries, business, and more. There's always something new to discover along with your old favorites. If you're a thrill seeker, Audible is the place for you. Their selection of mystery and thriller titles, plus highly anticipated new releases, will keep your heart racing month after month. And Audible's next listen recommendation means that there's always something that you'll love at your fingertips. Audible members get full access to a growing selection of included audiobooks, Audible originals, and even podcasts. You can download or stream them wherever you would like and whenever you would like. Plus, members can pick one title every month from the entire catalog to keep. With thousands of titles, you'll definitely find something you love all in one convenient app so that you can listen anywhere, anytime. So if you're into the whole crime mystery thing, my sister actually just told me about a title called The Last Thing He Told Me by Laura Dave. And I gotta be honest, I'm not really into these kind of things because I get too scared too easily. And she was like, no, it will not scare you. You will love it. You'll be so into it. So I guess that's gonna be my next listen. So new members can try Audible now for free for 30 days. Visit audible.com/woe or text woe, W-H-O-A to 500-500. That's audible, audible.com/woe or just text woe to 500-500 to try Audible for free for 30 days. Go check it out, friends. Y'all, we all grew up at camp around here. We are camp kids. We love camp, love a good camp game, camp song. All of it is so fun. Summers at camp are definitely awesome. And my kids are too young for camp, so I got to have some other things to entertain them. And KiwiCo is a great way to bring camp right to your door. Some of the fun of camp, at least. KiwiCo delivers some seriously fun learning games for kids of all ages through hands-on projects and activities. Every month, kids receive crates packed with projects and items to help them explore science, technology, and art in ways that will capture their attention no matter what their age. So I mentioned our love for camp. My mom actually was the craft director at camp all my life. And so she was always doing new crafts and teaching us crafts and led all the kids in that. And so it really is fun to get to do some crafts with the kids at home, especially with KiwiCo, because they always have an educational element to them for no matter what age your kids are. So even Honey, the little crafts that KiwiCo has sent are great because it's teaching her things that I might not necessarily think to teach her at this age, but through a fun way, it helps her. KiwiCo will help you engage your child's natural curiosity and encourage them to be an innovator and creative thinker. They'll learn new skills and new connections and build the confidence that they need to navigate through the world. We have loved watching Honey and Haven grow and learn, and thankfully, KiwiCo has made it so much fun along the journey. So redefine learning with play. Explore projects that build confidence and problem-solving skills with KiwiCo. Get 50% off your first month on any crate line at KiwiCo.com with the promo code Sadie Robb. That's 50% off your first month at KiwiCo, KiwiCo.com with the promo code Sadie Robb. That is so cool. And honestly, it's crazy that you're saying that about you wouldn't have written that for yourself. You wouldn't have believed that for yourself, but other people kind of believed it for you, because my story is so similar and weirdly similar, because it was actually Louie who called it out in me too. He saw me. It's really weird. I'm telling you, everything you're saying, I'm like, this is so weird. And I just played my music for the first time for Louie a couple weeks ago, and we had this crazy moment. But years ago, I was about 19, and it was my first time I was really speaking somewhere, and I was really just, you know, filling space at Winter Jam. There was 10 minutes while they moved the set behind me, and I was up there to kind of, you know, fill the space. So I started talking about David and Goliath, and okay, that's like such a classic message. So, I mean, it wasn't super profound, but I was talking about David and Goliath, and I was talking about being a champion versus being a legend, this whole thing, and I did this thing. So I knew that the Giglios were going to be there to watch Crowder that that night, but I didn't really know of them that much. I mean, our family grew up Church of Christ, so we didn't really know much about the big church world out there. And this was, we had just kind of seen Passion. We had been to Passion for the first time. We were like, wow, this is amazing. So I knew who they were from that, and I knew they were going to be there. But I didn't really expect to get to talk to them or anything. So anyways, I speak, I walk up stage, and there they are, Louie and Shelley. And Louie looks at me, and he's like, God is going to use your voice to reach this generation. And I was just like, wow. And he said, will you come speak at our church? And we want you to speak at the college night. And I said, I don't think you understand. I've never done that before. I've never spoken at a church before. This is about the extent of what I've done. This is 10 minutes. You're asking for like a 45 minute. Like, I don't even know what that means. Like, but yeah, I will, you know, if you're asking, like, yes, I will. I was so nervous. I did not know what I was doing. I didn't even know how to, sometimes don't feel like I know how to prepare a message. I think I'm all over the place whenever I prepare a message, but I didn't have any reference for that. So anyways, I just fasted for 2 months, prayed, like 2 months up leading up into the thing, prayed, fasted, deleted social media, just got with the Lord and was like, God, like, you're just going to have to like lead this. You're going to have to guide this. You're going to tell me exactly what to say, how to say it. So I kind of prepared this message. And then as I was on my way to Passion, I see this homeless man on the side of the road. And I feel like the Lord, and at this point in my life, like I said, my background was pretty traditional. I never felt like the Lord had spoke to me. And I felt like the Lord literally said, get out of your car and go give that homeless man your Bible. And I was just like, I was running, like I was going to speak at Passion. This is my first speaking moment. And I was going to be late if I did this, but I like could not shake it. So we kind of passed the man. And then I told the driver, I was like, okay, we got to turn around. I got to go talk to this man. I don't really know why, but like, I just so strongly feel like I have to do this. So I walk up to this homeless man. I have my Bible that has all my notes in it for tonight. Cause at the time I had written my notes in my Bible for what I was going to say. And I was just like, oh man, I have no idea what you're doing, Lord. So I just said, Hey, I'm Sadie. I said, I would love to give you my Bible. I'm sorry I don't have any money on me, but man, this is everything. And he said, no, I can't take that. And I said, well, sure you can. Please just take it. I would love for you to have it. And man, it's a gift and it changed your life. And he said, no, I can't take that. I don't want that. And he said, I'm an atheist. I said, well, that's okay. I mean, you can still take it. I mean, I'd just love for you to have it. He said, no, I really can't take that. So then I was like, God, like, what in the world? Why did I come over here? So then I'm like, okay, I'm just going to put this Bible on the ground. I was like, look, I'm just going to leave this here. I'm going to walk away. You can read this if you want. You don't have to. And then he was like, no, I can't take that, but give it to someone who will. And he said, someone else needs that. It's just not me. And there's something in this moment where I just realized, like, man, like, you know, this is kind of what I'm going to do. Like, I'm going to go and I'm going to offer the word to people and I'm going to preach the word, and some are going to take it and some are not, you know? And it really is up to that person if they're going to receive. I can only be obedient to what the Lord's asking me to do. So kind of had this moment. I was like very emotional. Go speak at Passion. Well, I get done with kind of my notes that I had prepared. I still had like 10 minutes left. So I was like, I'm just going to tell the story that just happened to me. So I share this moment about this homeless man and this moment. I said, and some of you are going to take it and some of you aren't. And, to this day, I've been speaking now for the past 6 years since that moment. To this day, that is the most viral message I have ever done. It literally went so viral in all different languages, and that moment with the homeless man story took off all over the world. And that's what people begin to know me as. People didn't know me as a speaker before that. I wasn't preaching before that. And after that, everyone thought I was a preacher and speaker, and that's what I've been doing for 6 years. And so I understand, like, your story. It's so crazy. It's like, I would have never, like, even dreamed of this being my life. I would have never even known how to walk into that. But people around me believed in it. And Louie was like, hey, I'm going to give you a shot, even though you've never done this before. And so I want to talk about that because we have such similar stories. Yeah. And I think so many young people right now, they have this gift. Maybe they know they have it. Maybe they don't. I'm specifically speaking to the ones who know they have the gift. They're like, I'm really good at songwriting. I'm really good at leading worship. And they're trying to push it to get to this success or to this the stage or the number, whatever they're trying to do. How do you, you know, rest in having the gift that God's given you, but waiting for the Lord to elevate you if that's going to be part of your story?
That's that's the key. I mean, for me, I think that, you know, the flesh, the human part of me is always like, man, I'm ready. I can do this. I know I've got songs. You know, when songs started coming, give me opportunities. And it just was never, it was never really fast for me. It was never like this, oh man, overnight. I mean, people, I look at people who like have had so much success at like, yeah, so young. You look at like pop stars or whatever, you think, man, how does that, you look at that and you're it's so easy to compare your life to other people. Comparison kills everything. Yeah. And it just destroys any creativity. It destroys everything in your life, really. Mm-hmm. But you compare yourself to some other person's speed or pace. And for me, I can just say it was always just small steps, small things all through the years of like just whatever opportunity that God would give me, I would do it. And it would be so like, I mean, we're talking, I would show up places and 7 people would be there. 10 people would be there. People like, I forgot that I was coming. I remember going to things and they forgot they invited me and I was sent at the airport and no one came to pick me up. I've got all kinds of those things. And so like, you know, it's like, it's not like it was just like, oh man, I wrote some songs and then I wrote How Great Is Our God and then bam. And that was like, that was, you know, years into it. Yeah. And it was like so much, but God was always, you know, I look back and he's always preparing me for the next step, for the next thing, for the next opportunity, for the next responsibility. And those responsibilities got so much bigger and bigger and bigger. And I would be done and burned and gone if it would have been like that overnight, you know? Yep. But just to be able, these years and years of just, that, you know, trying to stay in a place of like, of really dependent upon the Lord and not losing that thing. I think a beautiful thing for me in all of that is like, wow, this takes a lot. And I have to be dependent on God to provide all these kind of different opportunities because, you know, it's not just overnight. It's not just like, wow, okay, that was easy.
Yeah.
It was like, okay, Lord, what's happening? I remember stepping out of college, going all the way through college and thinking, How do I do this and survive financially? How do I make, is this a career? No way my family's in ministry. I don't know anything about what that is. Like, and how do you do music? I wasn't a signed artist, didn't have a record label. There was none of that. It was like, and I was in college. I was like, how do I do this? Yeah. And I remember thinking, well, I'll just go to, I was going to start out from pre-med medicine and thinking, maybe I'll go to medical school. And then I was like, well, no, I like to work in sports medicine somehow. And I thought I got to get into graduate school and do all these things. And then I had all these opportunities to play music. And it was like this real crossroads in my life where I was like, okay, if I go and just down this path of sports medicine or whatever, I can't do that. I can't do both. And then, so the opportunity just, I was like, okay, Lord,
that's cool.
I'm going to do this. It was one of those steps of faith. Like, I'm not going to graduate school. I'm not going to pursue that anymore. I feel like you're opening up doors for me. I don't know how to do this. And I didn't have a band. I didn't have CDs. I didn't have websites, nothing. Yeah. I was just opportunities to play and people were calling me in these opportunities. And God was definitely making a way, making it obvious that he was opening up doors for me.
Yeah.
But it was just those small steps and they just kept leading to more and more and more things. And so you can't, what do they say? You can't despise the small things, beginnings.
Yep.
Don't despise the small beginnings because that's what it takes. And I look back and I'm so grateful for that. I'm so grateful for the road and the path. And
it's good.
God's timing. I've always said this. If God has something for you to say, he will move mountains to put you there.
Yeah.
And that's his place. He does that. And the Holy Spirit knows exactly what you need, and to be in that place of relying on him for the next steps, even this far down the road for me, it's like, okay, Lord, you know, where are we leading? How do I lead my team? How do I lead? You know, now there's people that it was always just me and God.
Yeah.
You know, like, okay, what are we doing, Lord? And now it's all these people that God has surrounded me with. Okay, how do I lead this team? And how do I, and what all, that you've given me, and all these, my band and my crew and the people that all these things, what's these steps? Well, give me direction. So I guess what I'm trying to say is I'm always in that place. Just like, good. Lord, what are the next steps? You know,
that's and so good.
So for me, if it encourages anybody, it's been a long road and many, many years. It's been 25 years of traveling and playing and writing songs. And yeah.
So good. That's so good. Because I think so many people, especially in college, they think like, okay, at the end of this, something's just going to work out perfectly. I'm going to get this huge opportunity or I'm going to move here. It's just going to be like so clear. And most people find, you know, it's not. You know, they get to their senior year and the next step's supposed to come and everybody's in the same boat of, I don't know what in the world I'm about to do. And it's in those moments that it requires faith. It requires trust. It requires you to say like, okay, I don't know what's next. It might be smaller than I thought, but this is where the Lord's leading. So I'm just going to say yes and just walking in obedience to that. And I love how you said that God will move mountains if he needs, you know, if you say something and it needs to get out, God will move mountain. And I actually, it was like, thought about that when I was in Israel. When we were in Israel and we went to where Jesus preached, like the Mount of Beatitudes, whenever he was actually like, you know, saying this message that was totally counterculture. He's like, blessed are the poor in spirit, blessed are, like just saying stuff that nobody had like said before. And he's preaching it. And they were saying that that day there were thousands of people there. There's a ton of people there, hundreds of people there who gathered around to listen to Jesus preach. Well, the way that literally the mountain is shaped there, they were talking about how if you're at the bottom of this hill, even if you're talking at the bottom, the person at the top of the hill can hear you because it's like this dome effect that it kind of echoes up. And I was like, you know what? That is so cool that even where Jesus came to preach this message, that everyone there could have heard him that day literally because of the way that the mountain was shaped. Like literally because of the way the hill was shaped. I was like, that was before they had like sound guys or like, Jesus, let's do a little mic check real fast. I was like, no, they like had none of that. So how do people, yeah, like, can you hear me in your ears? Jesus, yeah, okay, good. But like, no, like they're just sitting on the side of a hill and like Jesus starts teaching and the people can hear him because of the way the land was formed. And I was like, you know, that really is how God does things. It's like, if God's leading you to do something, like he'll shape the space around it. You know, like you say yes, you do what you can do, he'll do what he can do. And that's what I always say to God. I'm like, if you don't do it, this is nothing, you know. But if you show up, this is gonna be crazy.
And your journey is going to look so different than somebody else's. It's going to be unique because God has a unique plan. He's wired you differently. He's wired you. And that's where, like, we touched on the comparison thing. You look at somebody else's journey and think, well, that's what I need to do that. I need to do that. No, you don't. You have a unique thing and where you are and trust that where you are is exactly in God's plan, in God's place. And Proverbs 16:9 is, I love how the New Living Translation says that we can make our plans, but the Lord determines our steps.
Oh, that's good.
In the heart of man, people make their plans, but the Lord determines their steps.
Yep.
Proverbs 16:9. That's always been a verse for me that I always come back to. It's like, I can make plans all I want. And it's good to make plans. It's good to like to dream and vision, but it's the Lord that determines the steps. Exactly what you were saying, your story and my story, I see it. I was like, wow, I would have never taken these steps, but God, these are the steps you had for me. And that's always a good place to trust, right?
That's good. That's so good. I love it. Man, this is so rich. So there's a question I ask everyone who comes on the Well, That's Good podcast. And the question is, what is the best piece of advice you've ever been given? You've obviously given us so many that we could take with us. But what is the best piece of advice that you have been given? Because that seems to be the thing that we're all after.
Oh, that's good. I've been given a lot of incredible advice. I go down through, gosh, it just flooded me right now of different people in my life that have said things that are incredibly important at times. But I would say, I would tell maybe with a story, and it's kind of fun, several years ago, I was out on a tour and my wife sent me a text, Lauren, and she said, hey, I want you to listen to this song. And she had never sent me a song before. never sent me a text before. I mean, sent me a text, but never sent me a text of a song before. So yeah. Listen to the song. She just doesn't do that. And I was out on the road, and Sadie, I completely forgot to listen to the song. I neglected it. I completely forgot. I get back home, and she's like, "Did you listen to that song I sent you?" And I was like, "Ah." And I was thinking, okay, this could go a couple ways here. I was like, you know, babe, I'm out on the road. I'm sitting on the bus 8 hours a day doing nothing. I didn't get to it. And so she's like, let's listen to the song right now. She puts this, so she goes, "I just feel like this song you would connect with." She plays me the song, and this little chorus starts, "You're a good, good father to you are." And there is a demo of the song. And I was like, oh my gosh. I just remember hearing it going, what is this?
Wow.
I remember instantly Googling who wrote this song. And I found out it was my buddy, Pat Barrett.
Hmm.
Anyway, ended up calling Pat and we connected on the song. And I was like, I want to record this song. I will sing this song every night until I die. I mean, this song is going to be, wow. I just know people need to hear this song. So say all that to say, what's the best advice? Because when I was, is listen to your wife.
Because That's so good.
Because I was thinking, man, of all the things, my life has been saved so many times through Lauren, through
That's
my wife.
Awesome.
God gave me an incredible mate, and her wisdom to me and her gift to me of being steady for me. And so when I was getting married, some friends of mine said, "Hey, you need to listen to her. You need to listen to her. She's got things to say." And it's amazing that probably the biggest song, greatest song that I've ever recorded of my career came from my wife saying,
"Wow,
listen to this." And me not paying attention and her having to say, "No, I'm telling you, listen to this. This song is for you." And it's a little funny way of saying that, but it's true. That God puts people in our lives He connects us. And for a long time, I was single for a long time, and God gave me Lauren, and knew exactly what I needed. And
that's awesome.
And I'm so grateful for that, and the advice she's and the things she's given me. But to listen to her, and I think that's probably the most important thing that's ever happened to me is her, and just the things that she said along the way. In listening to her in the way it's shaped my life and changed my life in a great way has been very powerful. And then my buddy Peb Jackson, who just passed away a few years ago, he's a legend. He was a legend in our faith. And I remember he said, the best thing you can give people is your friends. And I was always like, that's the advice he would say, give people, the best thing you can give people is your friends. And I was always like, wow, that's so special, because I think about the relationships that connecting relationships I've had and introducing people with friendships and how friendship at the end of the day, and you know this and people know this, at the end of the day, it is all about relationship. All this other stuff is all about the people around us. At the end of the day, who you got, you know. Yep. When it's all said and done, it's going to be those people, and you're right there, those your family, your mate, your children, your friends. At the end of the day, that's what it's about. And I'm always trying to remember that nothing is more important than those close around me, the relationships around me.
Yep. Gosh, that's so good. Our whole thing at LO, Live Original, that's behind me, our whole thing is to be a good sister and a friend to those who don't have one. And so we are all about sisterhood, friendship, community, because you're so right. At the end of the day, that is what matters. It's your people. It's people you do life with. And man, last night we had a long day at work. We are getting ready for a conference next week, so we've been staying up super late, but it was one of our friends' birthdays, so we're like, all right, we got to go celebrate him. It was so funny because all of our friends were all like kind of young, married. I have my daughter with us, and it was supposed to be a surprise party, but we didn't think about the fact that we all parked in the front, and we were all hiding as if he didn't know we were all there, but we parked in the front, and it was so funny watching. We're like, surprise! He's like, I saw y'all's cars, but it was so funny, and it was just so great. But it's like those people, the group that was there last night, we meet every Wednesday night, and we just talk about the real stuff, and it's like, you know, those things you just. Those are the things that matter. Those are your people. Those are the things that make life good. You know, it's just the people around you. And yeah, life is hard. Sometimes there are hard moments in that, but that's just like the sweetness that God allowed us to have with friendship and people around us. I love your advice of listen to your wife. That's a Whoa, That's Good moment. So a lot of people that listen to this podcast are in their 20s, you know, college students or younger 20s, young moms. And so these are the people that love The Bachelor, okay? The Bachelorette. This is these types of people. And I've heard that the way that you proposed to Lauren was pretty epic. So I think we should end on this story because I was like, when I heard this, I was like, dang, that is good. And Lauren deserves all of it. So you got to tell the story.
Well, when I proposed to Lauren, so I had this idea that I'd heard about this place down in Antigua, Guatemala, and this beautiful old it was an old monastery that's turned into a hotel at the side of a cliff. This beautiful place, and I'd never been there, but I'd seen pictures of it, and I'd seen like what they had done. Like somebody had talked about, they'd seen a proposal there, and how beautiful they made this place. And so they had an old maybe an old wine cellar, and it was turned into this room that had a dining room. And I knew that this would be really special. And so I thought this would be a great place. How do I convince Lauren to go there? And how do we get there? And I said, she's going to think we've never done a trip like that, dating. And so she would think something's up. So I was like, okay. Here's the deal. I said, guess what? You know, interesting, Lauren, the president of Guatemala has contacted me and I said, you know, they want my song, God of the City. They want this, they want to do something for the nation. And they asked me if I would do this song. And it's like a really special thing. So they're taking, so they want to put me up at this really nice hotel. And like, would you come? I wanted to know if you want to come with me. And she's like, and she's like, well, is it, you know, the really, is it a big deal? I was like, well, the president has asked me to come. And she goes, I got this sorority thing, you know, I'm supposed to be doing. And I get with my sisters. I was like, oh yeah, I think it's a pretty big deal. I think you should do it. And she goes, well, I had this, it's this thing on Saturday. It was a big deal. I was supposed to do it on Saturday. And I said, it's this Saturday with the president. She goes, well, this Saturday, I can't do it. I have to do this thing. And I was like, okay. So I called her back the next day. I said, guess what? The president moved the thing to Monday. You're not going to believe this, but he moved the event to Monday. And she's like, really? I was like, yeah. And it's all going to work out Monday. She's like, okay, I'll go with you. So we go down there. And so I'm on the plane going to Guatemala. And the funny thing is, I'm just remembering all this again, is that I'm going to, you know, obviously I'm going to propose, but she thinks we're going to meet the president. So that's why I said, you got to have a nice dress. You got to do all this thing. And I was trying to remember his name. And I was like working on the Spanish. I was like, this is how we introduce ourselves and all this kind of thing. So bring something nice. And she said that. And so on the plane, no lie, are these two youth groups that are on the same plane. And they're like, Chris Tomlin. I was like, hey, yeah. He goes, what are you going to Guatemala for?
Well,
I'm doing this thing with the president. So now I'm lying to the youth group saying, you know, because Lauren's, I'm like, doing this thing with the president of Guatemala. I'm doing this thing. And they're like, oh, we're coming.
That's so good.
And I was like, well, that's a private, it's interesting, it's a private event. I think it's a private event. And sometimes I don't think you can come. They're like, well, we're going to look for it. And I was like, okay, be on the lookout for it. But I think it's private. So we get there and we roll in and I said, okay, so here's the event and we're going to meet the president. It's behind these doors. And and I was like, I think the vent is through this room. And I had asked these guys, and they spoke very little English. Hey, I want this room set up really nice. And because I'd seen a picture of what they did, it's like all rose petals, flowers wow. all over the floor. The whole floor is flowers.
Wow.
In this beautiful, beautiful, old, ancient building. And there's one table in the middle and with the candlelight kind of thing. And it's all flowers. I was like, and so they're standing there, and I love the Guatemalan people. They're so sweet, and they're just the sweetest people. And these little, and they're tiny people. Like I felt tall there, which is the first time in my life. And so they were like, and I walked up to this room, and I said, like, Lauren's dressed up, and she's like, I'm nervous about meeting the president. I've never met a president before. I was like, I know, this is crazy. And so
this we're walking is so through
great. This. So, and I'm looking at the guys like, oh, do we have this? Is everything good? And they're smiling at me like, see. And so we open the door, and the door opens, and it's just all the rose petals, and it's it's one table there. And she's like, what's going on? What's going on? And where's the president? And she's looking at me like, Where's the president? Like, where is everybody? Because it's this big room. And I was like, well, there is no president here. I don't know the president of Guatemala. He did not ask me to come here. And the reason I wanted you to be here, and then I got down on my knee and
wow.
asked her to marry me. And I had learned it in Spanish. Will you marry me in Spanish?
That's awesome. Come on.
A little touch. And she said yes, and it was like just a really fun surprise for her,
really
fun for me. So that's kind of what that was the thing.
Epic! I love it so much. The president thing got me. I was like, that is like full send. That is like we are going all out. I didn't even think about the fact that you would get recognized in the airport, and the kids would be like, "Oh, we're going! That's awesome." Because every time we go overseas too, you know, there's so many youth groups are going. They're so excited. They're like, "Where y'all going? Where y'all going?" So that is just so good. Oh my gosh! Well, hey, look. I hope guys are listening to this. I know some of you are. If you're listening, if your girlfriend's sending you this, it's for a reason. You just need to up your game a little bit. Start thinking. Learn marry me in Spanish. Fake that you know the president, you know, wherever you can get her. But that's so good. Well, Chris, you have been such a joy to talk to. I know so many people are going to be inspired by who you are, first and foremost, but also so much of the advice you gave on leading worship, doing life, being just a humble friend. Man, this is so good. So thanks for being on the Whether That's Good podcast. We appreciate you, and everybody go listen to his new album that is out. You don't want to miss it. It's his 30th something, but it is so important, and you don't want to miss it. You don't want to miss it. Chris, thank you so much.
Thank you, Sadie. Honored to be here and honored to be with you, and I love what you're doing. Incredible
thank you.
What you're doing. So God bless you.